Hello again, and Merry Christmas from Coins Plus, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, and we are, I just wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas. I'm here. I wasn't going to come in today, but I did, and so here I am. And just for those of you who don't know, Coins Plus is the sponsor of True Wealth. Coins Plus is located at inside the Division Hill Clock Tower Plaza at 3201 North Division Street. And we can be reached in Spokane by calling 444-0044 or outside Spokane. Coins Plus can be reached toll-free at 877-827-TAP. Well, 877-TAP-COIN or 877-827-COIN or 877-827-2646. Coins Plus is a full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. We specialize in investment guidance for people who want to preserve their capital in an extremely overinflated and hyperinflationary economic and, let's say, interesting geopolitical and off-the-charts and unprecedented domestic political climate. The world is a changing, folks, and you better be ready for the ride because these times are transitioning us to new times, and we ain't going back to the old times, I can tell you that. With everything that's going on, the Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. The entire spirit of prophecy is being fulfilled. You know, we've talked about 2 Timothy, I think it is, first or second, right? Where it talks about the spirit in the end times. I don't want to go there too crazy, but maybe I should. There's a special spirit that is prevalent in the end times, according to Timothy. And I've discussed it a number of times, but I think it's kind of important because when I originally read this, I was younger, it was in the 80s, I was a fresh believer, and I was like, wow, those are bad times. I just pictured people shaking their fist at God, turning their back on God, and it really stumped me. You know, I just thought, man, that's got to be just a really terrible time. I didn't think I'd ever see it. But I guess in a lot of ways I am right now, frankly. It's becoming very, very prevalent here. Let's take a quick look. It says, realize this. And I mean, it's Christmas. I want to go that direction. I want to go too hard this way. Realize this. In the last days, difficult times will come. I want you to think about everything that's going on. The media, you know, journalists coming out. I read an article or heard some stuff today about an article where a journalist is saying that it's journalists' responsibility to persuade people to change the views of the masses. Essentially, it's not, in her mind, it's not the duty of journalists to just deliver the truth. She says it's their duty. Think about it. We've got the First Amendment, freedom of speech. It's their duty to change the minds of America. I mean, unbelievable. It's 4 days ago it was written. I'm trying to find a little information here. Well, here's a counterpoint, of course, that journalism's first obligation is to the truth, and its first loyalty is to the citizens. The essence is a discipline of verification. Its practitioners must maintain an independence from those they cover. And journalism must serve as an independent monitor of power. And that's what it must provide, a forum for public criticism and compromise, right? Open-mindedness in a fruitful way. Journalism must strive to keep the significant, interesting, and relevant. Journalism must keep the news comprehensive and proportional. Proportional is a powerful word, folks. Proportional is, you know, within reason or relevant to. In other words, if someone says, hey, you know, oh, your hair looks a little messy today, and you freak out and start screaming at them, that is a disproportionate response. It is very, it's very important that our responses are proportionate to situations. Now, when you say that and then you see the hysteria being spewed out by like CNN and whatever, they've got this, what's this guy, Speltzer or something like that. That guy won't be around long. He's way too dishonest. God's word says these people fall hard. He's going to fall hard. He's going to fall fast. That's a CNN correspondent. It just, you know, that's journalism. That's truth. Truth. People that lie for a living don't last. I promise. There's no way. God's word is true and faithful, and I predict the demise of these dishonest people. This is American Press Institute. They say, like I said, journalism must keep the news comprehensive and proportional. Its practitioners must be allowed to exercise their personal conscience. Okay, here's the interesting part we're reading now. It says, whether as a professional writing for a news organization or as an online contributor in the public space involves one moral compass and demands a personal sense of ethics and responsibility. Because news is important, those who provide news have a responsibility to voice their personal conscience out loud and allow others to do so as well. That's the key part right there. They must be willing to question their own work and to differ with the work of others if fairness and accuracy demand they do so. Bingo. These are old journalistic standards, folks. That is it right there. The key word is they have the responsibility to voice their personal conscience out loud and allow others to do so as well. They must be willing to question their own work and to differ with the work of others if fairness and accuracy demand they do so. What we have going on in this country right now is absolute monopoly of the media and the press, and therefore, this is a time the founding fathers, I don't think, ever thought they'd see. Because this is a time when free speech is being funneled through conduits like Facebook, whom I believe I was recently censored by. I wrote a pretty profound response in defense of Matt Shea and got an email. In my response, I wrote that, you know, they refer to us as Nazis. And in my response from Facebook, I got some comments about using the term Nazi. And I mean, it just went on. It was something else. I'm like, you're kidding me. And they censored me. They absolutely censored me. And my letter was very balanced and very open-minded. And it's crazy. This is where this is a conduit of free speech. Now, Mark Zuckerberg, the owner of Facebook, stands behind, you know, the First Amendment. He doesn't have First Amendment rights to take away your First Amendment rights. Freedom of speech is big, big, big. And the reason we're talking about that is it coincides directly. The First Amendment says, you know, the right to freedom, you know, basically freedom of speech, freedom of the amendments, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of to basically express your religious views, right? I mean, that's not unreasonable at all. So there, this American Press Institute standards of journalism is very interesting because I'm not seeing this in practice anymore. Its practitioners must be allowed to exercise their personal conscience. That's where it gets a little weird. Citizens, too, have rights and responsibilities when it comes to the news. It says the average person now more than ever works like a journalist. Writing a blog entry, commenting on social media sites, sending tweets, or liking pictures or posts likely involves a shorthand version of the journalistic process. One comes across information, decides whether or not it's believable, assesses its strength and weaknesses, determines if it has value to others, decides what to ignore and what to pass on, chooses the best way to share it, and then hits the send button. Though this process may take only a few minutes, it's essentially what reporters do. And then it goes on And it says, you know, what is your motive? It says, two things, however, separate this journalistic-like process from an end product as journalism. That is journalism. The first is motive and intent. The purpose of journalism is to give people the information they need to make better decisions about their lives and society. The second difference is that journalism involves the conscious, systematic application of a discipline of verification to produce a functional truth, as opposed to something that is merely interesting or informative, a.k.a. entertain me, right? Yet while the process is critical, it's the end product or the story by which journalism is ultimately judged. And then it goes on about that. And I have to agree with it totally. It's basically saying that, you know, there's all these responsibilities, you know, with rights come responsibilities. And if you have a First Amendment right, you have got to... People take the opposite approach. They think, it's my right. I can abuse it. I remember, you know, back in the 80s, I don't know why, 80s and 90s, you're abusing my rights. Cops would say, how? Now they just say, shut up, tell it to the judge. But back then they'd say, how am I abusing your rights? And a lot of people would be spewing out all these things that just made no sense. And you're asking, well, how would I know? I know because my dad was a bail bondsman, and I had the pleasure of dealing with some of America's finest people. They were wonderful, and yes, I did bounty hunting and all that other stuff as well. And yes, I enjoyed it. I was a banker by day and bounty hunter by night, and I have many, many stories of crazy scenarios that you probably don't want to hear about. So let's move on. Let's go forth a little bit here, and we'll go over some stuff. So I want to just talk a little bit about, you know, I talked about investment guidance. Coins Plus is always also actively involved in the purchase and sale of coins, collections, gold, and silver. If you or someone you know may want to liquidate, there are many times people will inherit coins or they have investments and, you know, bullion, old gold jewelry, diamonds, or whatever that, you know, they just want to liquidate, or they're familiar with the coin, precious metals, or diamond markets, and they feel they're sitting on a solid return or solid asset value, and they want to take some cash and maybe come back and maybe rebuy later or whatever. Ironically and honestly, when major indicators tell us the economy is great, but only those with the perfect select few stocks or real estate are feeling it, that's not a good sign. And so, I mean, essentially, you know, we're seeing, in other words, some people, if you need some money or whatever, don't be ashamed at all. That's what we do. We buy it, we sell it, we don't judge, we don't ask. If you need some advice, we'll try to give it to you. Depends on, you know, what advice you need. Of course, we've got a lot of knowledge, but not all. So, although our unemployment, this is, I kind of did a year-end evaluation analysis here, and this isn't too technical or analytical, it's just some scribble notes, but although unemployment is at an all-time low under Trump, wages have not grown anywhere near commensurate with the hyperinflationary growth rate of those items which have been conveniently excluded from the CPI, which is the Consumer Price Index. Clinton did it, and man, did he do it. He removed food, transportation, real estate, and energy costs. That is what you and I spend 85% of our disposable income on. The richer we get, the lower the percentage that becomes. But it's still a major part. Even if you're, you know, worth millions and millions of dollars, you think food, okay, so you're going to eat more food, you might have more parties, et cetera. Transportation, you might have a jet and a yacht and a helicopter. Not that that's relevant to any of me or any of my listeners. Real estate, obviously, they're going to have a ton of that. And energy costs, you got to fuel everything. It doesn't matter. So the bottom line is the real costs of existence have been written out of the algorithm, essentially. Clinton did that for various reasons. Obviously, so he could control the CPI and make himself look good. That's the problem with this short-sighted, democratic, immoral, unethical thinking. We're all paying the price now. We're economically deceived. Now, look what Nancy Pelosi has done with the impeachment process. Can you say, for the love of God, who would ever even think to play this charade? Because why? Because they're so desperate and to win and so dirty. I mean, really, think about this. How dirty and desperate would you have to be to put all these lies forth, not one imperial fact, just a bunch of hearsay, excuse me, crap, gossip, lies, deception, twisting, and then getting these mock, disgusting, filthy, you know, foul, unrealistic, unreasonable, unjustified, unverifiable articles of impeachment, and then saying that she refuses to send him over to the Senate because she's just not, she just doesn't feel that it'd be a fair process. Really? She is the Speaker of the House. Oh, yeah, that's right. And she has how much control over the Senate? I think none. Last, if I remember my civics lesson. And I don't think she should be dictating to the Senate how they operate. Secondly, I've seen these people come out and say, well, you know, Mitch McConnell has admitted that he wouldn't be an unbiased juror, which contradicts the oath that he took. What oath did he take? You know, he took an oath to be a senator, not to propagate lies and twists. But folks, when you get half the country lying and twisting like this, you are going down a bad, bad road. When people can't look at the truth, they can't see the truth, they don't want to see the truth, this is when we've gotten to the maximum level of entitlement, enabling, and I want, you know, you need to think about it like a child, okay? Like if you have a son or whatever, daughter, that's just a wreck, a train wreck, you know, and you or your spouse just enabled them, and they're train wrecks. In fact, Proverbs was written to Rehoboam, Solomon's son. People don't realize that. He says, my son, my son, my son. Rehoboam was a train wreck, an absolute train wreck coming down the pipe. This is what we've created. Can you believe these left-wing congressional delegates that we have on a federal level, that they come in, their first acceptance speech is we're gonna impeach that blank MF-er, excuse me, but I'm just trying to consolidate. This is a woman in her acceptance speech, you know, and all the foul, filthy language these women have spoken against this man. No man. I propose that no man in the history of the world has ever undergone such scrutiny in a single point in time. Jesus over the long haul for sure. But nobody at a single point in time. There's so many people pounding on him and they want to hurt him. It's like he's so tough. And yet they won't quit. They have no mercy, no empathy. Strike first, strike hard, show no mercy. That's the bad martial arts way. That's what we're seeing a lot of, I think, out there today. And as I was just discussing, you know, it says, realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revelers, disobedient to parents. There's a critical one. That's one of the commandments, the one with a promise. That's the foundation of society. All these go with it. Ungrateful, unholy, in other words, entitled, right? Ungrateful is a form of entitlement. You owe me. It just is what it is. Unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips. That's what we're dealing with on it. These are our adults without self-control. Brutal and haters of good. Treacherous, reckless, conceited. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Back up. Treacherous, in other words, nasty, dangerous, reckless. You know, they're just out there just slamming like a bull in a china closet. There's no respect or dignity or honor for our system. Sorry, I'm sounding like an old man. Maybe I am. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Holding, and then it says before that, conceited. Think of the arrogance. I mean, of the state legislature that is censuring Matt Shea, okay, right after an election. They come out with these ridiculous articles of nothing. They're mimicking the Trump fiasco. It is absolutely, completely, totally wrong. You know, they oh, he's a domestic terrorist. And then Ozzy Knezovich says that because Matt Shea stood up to Ozzy and Matt had a point. Matt's point was that when these constitutionalists gathered in the valley, Spokane Valley, this is one of the major battles, somebody with a camera came out and saw all these cops out there, and they had like MRAPs, okay, great big military vehicles that had been donated to all the police forces by Obama. Now, Obama was anti-cop, so why would Obama be arming the police? It's called Hegelian dialectic. I've discussed it. Thesis, antithesis, synthesis. Thesis is a problem. You create it. The antithesis, antithesis, you create the solution. And synthesis, you're the hero. Obama wanted to create what's going on today. Now Obama's out there going, no, no, no. Most Americans don't want this level of disruption. He's trying to tell the Democrats, they don't want this kind of rebellion. They don't want this disruption. You guys are being too obnoxious. They don't want this radical change overnight, he says. So when Elizabeth Warren's telling us her green new Green Deal, $74 trillion, Obama's like, no, 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 no. You don't do that. You don't do that. You just promise everybody everything. You say everything's going to be free. It's going to be cheap. Life's going to be better. You're going to be walking through golden fields. You know, that's how you do it. That's how Obama did it. He's a smart guy. Is he right? No. Is he ethical? Nah, not completely. But he's, you know, it's crazy how we watch things progressively change. Obama looks like a right-wing lefty. Now, they're so whacked out, bouncing off the left walls and screaming and hollering and wanting to take Trump down. And I think Obama's afraid stuff's going to come out about him eventually. There's some major investigations going on, folks. They can't shut down Bob Barr, the new AG. They can't shut the guy down. He's untouchable. He has no junk in his closet. He won't play their games. Jeff Sessions was pathetic. He was like a wimpy, whiny, spineless coward. You know, they put pressure on him to back down and go away. You remember they tried to do that to Damon Nunes, the congressman, I don't remember where he's from, but he's the one that went and told Trump that the FBI had this great big, spy scheme going, and he told them about the dossier and everything. And they said, oh, you're not unbiased, you know, Mr. Congressman going over to the President of the United States. And then they tried to get him to step down and put all this pressure on him. It didn't work. He didn't go down. But Jeff Sessions, he jumped right out of the boat. And he left Trump hanging out. We had no clue what was coming. That's why they wanted to get rid of him. They wanted to expose him. And then he was in a hard spot. I mean, it was something else. But anyway, enough of that, all right? So here we go. We go through all these different personality traits at the end times. Maybe we're there, I think, perhaps. It says, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of good, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. Okay? Holding to a form of godliness. Godliness is what? It's piety and it's religion and it's happy holidays. You know, I offend people on purpose. I picked my mom at the airport this morning, and this nice, gentleman of a certain persuasion was talking to my mom on the bench, and, you know, he had all of his earrings and all of his piercings and whatever, you know. I mean, I love people, nothing against him, but he's, you know, he's not, you know, fully straight, we'll say that. And he's talking to my mom, and we're leaving, and he's like, well, happy holidays. I said, hey, Merry Christmas to you. And I walked over and shook his hand. He just gave me this dead stare, like, wow. I have said today I was out and about, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas to everybody, professionals, police officers. I get a blank stare. You are being politically incorrect. You need to shut your mouth. Folks, we are living in a society today, starting, I think, kind of in the 80s, but really the 90s. They started to control our speech, and now they're controlling all of it. What we hate is what is still dictating what we become. They are dictating who and what we become. So then they control the speech. And like my write-up, my commentary on Matt Shea's write-up on what's happening to him. By the way, folks, you have got... Every single person on this radio has got to do what they can. Do you know that our left-wing majority, state legislature, a.k.a., you know, elected delegates, majority, liberal, went and did this hiatus, this coup, spent over $100,000 in taxpayer money for a study against Matt Shea, which came out and said they found no evidence of domestic terrorism, but it's more probable than not that it could be there or whatever farce. And it was all based on a bunch of $100,000, and their main witnesses were public magazines in left-wing radical articles. And I'm sorry, folks. There comes a time. Number one, you do not have to agree with somebody to fight for their right to freedom of speech, okay? And I know, because I've talked to some people, I know the media just has been hounding on Matt, hounding and hounding and hounding and hounding and hounding. That does not make it right, and it does not make it true. As Joseph Goebbels said, clearly, you know, if you want, tell a lie long enough, the people will believe it. The bigger the lie, the more easier they'll believe it. That's what the media does to you now. We live in a propaganda era. We live in an era that's better at propaganda than the USSR ever was. Why? Because we have this little thing called the CIA. They've investigated and studied all this stuff. Then they apply it, and then it goes into certain hands. People get into the public sector, and away we go. We're very good at it. But I'm just saying, you got to come to his support as much as you can. I mean, you have to object to his being stripped of all of his rights. What right do they have to do that? I mean, because Jay Pounder, who was his security guard, you know, his Secret Service guy. I'd always see Jay'd have his little curly Q ear thing in and be talking like his Secret Service and... So got his feelings hurt, went into Matt's email, and then took emails to Matt, which he has a ton. I mean, Matt, I know he blankets. He's got like a million people that he contacts through various web services. And, you know, he's going to get all kinds of wacky stuff. And so he goes and takes this kind of stuff, turns it against him. Matt's defending himself against, you know, indefensible stuff that he shouldn't have to. Or non-defensible, irrelevancy, or a-defensible, whatever it is. And, I mean, just because you have a mole or a treasonous traitor among you, I mean, this is so bad that a guy who would do such a thing, I don't know who'd want to live with themselves that way, personally. And sure, you don't have to like the guy. I do, but I'm not. I'm just saying, you don't have to. That doesn't change our rights. It doesn't. Folks, this is cancer. And I just want you to realize how serious this is. This is serious. When you can get these left-wing radical majority people to censure, and then you get the cowards on the right caving in. Oh, sure, lots of people hate Matt Shea. Just like lots of people hated Rand Paul or Ron Paul because he's a constitutionalist, you know. Matt's got his beliefs. Matt is our delegate for District 4. He's elect. He's an elected representative. That means the district agrees in part or mostly with his beliefs. And again, I'm not debating any of his beliefs. I'm just saying freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom to serve. If he's been elected as a delegate, where's his district? They should all get in a car and drive out to Olympia and say, wait, this is our elected representative. Well, who are you to depose this man? This is what's going on. This is what they're trying to do with Trump. And we're one of the most liberal states in the U.S. We start doing this, we are setting a precedent, folks. This is going to be so bad because I'll tell you what, this is the same thing with this impeachment. You know, Trump said, well, if they start doing this, I'm sure down the road there's going to be a Democratic president and a Republican majority Congress, and they're going to remember. Well, hopefully they don't stoop that low, but how low can you go? And why would they want to set these kinds of precedents? You know what? It just becomes an absolute disrespect for the law. It creates chaos. It creates anarchy. It creates injustice. It is chipping away at our system. Folks, you want to see our system crumble? You look at what's going on right now. You got Trump time and time again. We have a system where these district courts can shut Trump down. These small district courts, District 9, District 11, continuously overturn. District 9, I think, is the bad one. Continuously overturn time and time and time and time again. And making unreasonable, unconstitutional rulings based on nothing but opinion. Radical, radical judges. Legislating from the bench, okay? So they start shutting down the president and messing with everything. And, you know, it's the wall. It's immigration. It's always immigration. They just keep... They want these guys pouring in. Are you kidding me? We got these left-wingers out there screaming, you know, we want to give them free stuff. They wanted to fine everybody for not having insurance under Obamacare, and then they want to give the illegal immigrants insurance the minute they step on soil. This Pete Buttigieg... who's flakier in a $3 bill, running for president on the Democratic side, a nomination anyway he's shooting for. You know, he's found in all these, you know, Sonoma Valley and, what is it, Temecula and Napa Valley, and he's going to all these wine cave, not all, but he went to the, you know, wine cave event with $900 wine and Swarovski crystals and, you know, okay, so what? But at the same time, these guys preach this liberal idiocy. They preach this socialistic stupidity. And the problem with it is the working man falls for it because their life sucks and they want more. And they think, God, if my liberal friends, my Democrats could just get this done and the Republicans would get out of their way, we could get all their money. We could steal all the money from the Republicans if we could just get 51% to vote from 49%. As Franklin, Ben Franklin warned us about in a democracy, which we are not, by the way, we're a republic with a democratic form of elections. That's why we don't have a right. Our delegates don't have any right to be reversing our decisions in an election. That's not what they're there for. They're to serve us. I hope people are smart enough, but I guess I've had a lot of people tell me they're not. But I hope people are smart enough to see that the Democrats have done absolutely nothing. The impeachment hearings were an absolute farce. Impeachment inquiry. You know, give me a break. And they have all these people with the same stories, nothing to back it up. And they're just to try to depose somebody they don't like. 63% of or 63 million Americans voted for the man. You've got that, you know, at the time of Christ, you know, it's interesting because it may be actually like Chinese. There's been different theories of that kind of stuff. And you know, we don't know for sure, but, you know, some of the studies that I've read and done are, you know, they're quite interesting as far as theories go. We got Syria, Iraq, Iran, all kinds of stuff. Very possibly maybe Iran, Iraq, that kind of an area. But they had some kind of spiritual insight, spiritual wisdom that they were led. So Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. He gathered together all the chief priests and scribes of the people. He inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, now think about this, they knew from Scripture, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" So they knew. I mean, they just told Herod straight up, "Well, here's where the Messiah comes from." How many prophecies did Jesus fulfill? I think a lot. Supposedly I've heard 333, which is a pretty good number, I think. If that's correct, it's probably pretty close. You know, there's people, I've heard all kinds of stuff, but there's lists I could go down on here I'm looking at right now that are, you know, they're very profound, just very profound. It depends on how people lay them out, of course, because the problem is, you know, that people aren't numbering them per se, and they're just kind of run-on sentences, which is kind of irritating, though. But I'm babbling because I'm looking at all these prophecies, you know, God's covenant with Isaac's ancestors, the nations will be blessed through Jacob's offspring, the scepter will come through Judah, David's offspring will have an eternal kingdom, a virgin will give birth, and he will be called Emmanuel, or God with us. That's in Isaiah 7:14. It's got the prophecy and the fulfillment. The Messiah will end up in Egypt. How about that? The Christ will be born in Bethlehem. That's, in Matthew and in Micah. And then his ministry, it says his ministry will destroy the devil's work. That is found in Genesis 3. And then we've got Jesus will have a sinless, blemish-free life and ministry. The Messiah will be humbled in order to serve mankind. And then we've got Jesus will become the perfect sacrifice. I mean, that's amazing, but sad, you know. It says, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, 'Here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O God. Your law is within my heart.'" Fulfillment. When Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, God.'" I mean, he said it all. And then, you know, Hebrews 10 discusses that. You know, and it just goes on and on about how he would teach in parables and he'd preach righteousness to Israel. And the parables would fall on deaf ears. And, I mean, these are minor prophecies. The Messiah would be a stone that causes people to stumble. You know, they call them the stumbling block. Christ's ministry would begin in Galilee. So there's a specific city. Jesus would draw the Gentiles to himself. That is weird prophecy that was overlooked. Those are half verses that God hid. The Jews didn't get it. "In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and the resting place will be, and his resting place will be glorious." That's good stuff, because we need, if the Jews wouldn't have rejected Jesus, the world would be different today. There's two possibilities when Jesus came. He would have been killed by the Romans for calling himself a king and embraced by the Jews. He would have been killed by the Jews and embraced by the Gentiles as he was. Either way, God sent him for his people. He knew their hearts were hard. God tried to serve them, and their hearts were too hard. And Jesus wept over the city. And he said, I would love to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you'll have nothing to do with me, basically. No interest in me. And so he had to reject them. And that's what he was there for, his own people. It's not, we look at it as the Jews. These are Jesus' people. These are your own people. If you were the Messiah, now that's saying a lot, but these are his people. The Jews were family back, you know, they still are. They're a unique breed. I've been around them. The way they operate, the way they think, the way they act is very culturally unique. There's no one like them in the world. They're very tight-knit, and they're very, you know, they just have a bond. It's hard to explain. So he has this miraculous ministry. It said, you know, it talked even about the precursor or the forerunner, John the Baptist, etc., and on and on. And the prophecies get better, but I won't even get into them. And so, anyway, so we go down. So Herod calls, and he basically wants to find Jesus. And after hearing, they went their way, and the star which had been seen in the earth went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. Now, what is that? You know, there's in old Chinese astrological records, they have different kinds of things at the time, which is why some theories are that they were Chinese. They have records of it going back 2,000 years. When they saw the star, it stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They fell to the ground and worshipped him, opening their treasures. They presented to him, what, gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I was doing some research today on that. There's some interesting stories of where that came from. I've discussed it. There's a lot of apocryphal books and even canonized books that discuss that God gave Adam and Eve golden rods, frankincense, and myrrh when they left the garden after they sat there for a year and tried to get back in, and the cherubim gave them gifts. And then later on, those gifts were buried by Enoch in the Great Pyramids, at the center of the earth, the middle of the earth, with Adam's body, actually that, or the Temple of Apollos. And those were supposedly exhumed later on. And that gold, frankincense, and myrrh was given to Jesus. I want you to realize gold is important to God. Gold is the highest form of money in God's eyes. It's the only form of money. So we got that going on. So after he came in the house, he saw a child with Mary, with his child, saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. Amazing. Opening their treasures, they presented him the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So these guys are so spiritually moved. They know who they're up against right then and there. And they've been, and it says, and having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. So Herod basically said, you know, he was trying to buddy up with him. He's like, hey, come back, you know, tell me where he is. Give me a report on him. You know, he's the king. And they're like, yeah, sure, whatever you want. And they're out of there. So then word, now an angel comes and tells Joseph in a dream, get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt now. Remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. So he gives God notice of all this, and then, you know, Jesus' amazing life goes on. Herod slaughters all the babies. Here comes evil. This has happened multiple times in life as Lucifer, Satan, moves man to try to eliminate the Messiah. It goes back to the birth of Moses, because, you know, what Moses did for the Jews. And then we've got stories, apocryphal stories of Nimrod and Abraham being born, the same thing, killed the first 2 years newborns. And then we got Herod. And it's Satan. He just, you know, God's one step ahead of him all the time. Imagine that. So we got John the Baptist and so on. I just want to say the birth of Jesus and his effects on this earth are so profound. We can't even comprehend what life would be like without him. But it's you'd be surprised at the impacts that he's had on our justice system, our psychology, the status of women. You know, they want all the left, these godless left want to claim all this stuff. No. All that stuff. You talk about the right to freedom and opinion of expression. I don't have time to go into it, but, you know, causality, which is a, you know, Greek philosophy thing. Environmentalism, Jesus started it with his parables. Medicine, research, science, incredible impact. Even art, folks, even art. I mean, seriously, it's the effect on us is profound. Worship the Lord. Make the day count, please. Enjoy it. Have a beautiful time with family. Be filled with the Spirit. And remember, it's more blessed to give than receive. And remember, every day is truly Christmas. So I just thank you for tuning in. I just pray the very best for you all. I thank you for your loyalty and friendship over the years. Take care. God bless. And have a wonderful Christmas. Bye-bye.